This is CliffCentral.com.
Flax is back. Flax is back. He better fucking stay, says someone. This is from Tabo. Okay, Tabo. But Flax has got a job, and he can't just come and spend time with us every day. He's made some time for us after how many years? Two.
Yeah, about two and a bit.
Yeah. And then more messages coming in this morning. Natasha says, most of my playlist consists of Gareth's music every morning. Have a great Friday, team. Love listening to you. Okay, well, someone likes my music.
Hmm.
Okay, well, that's rare.
I'm
going to treasure that. I'm going to screenshot that, and I'm going to keep it.
You should make a playlist that everyone can like follow, and you contribute, just keep adding your music.
Well, you could do that on Spotify,
yeah,
right? See, Flax is selling his new business.
Look at that.
That's what he's doing. Yeah. Okay, we got a couple of things in the news we want to get to this morning.
Yes.
I know it's no politics Friday, but we've got to talk about Boris and we've got to talk about Trump.
Mm.
So who are you going to start with?
Boris.
You want to start with Boris? Boris is really good in the House of Commons. You know, Prime Minister's questions?
Yes.
He went after Jeremy Corbyn and he talked about how well the Conservatives have done. Listen to this quickly. I mean, the guy is, he's at very least, he's more eloquent than most of the...
Oh, he's great to listen to.
Yeah, most of the politicians we've heard. So.
At last, this long-standing Eurosceptic, the Right Honourable Gentleman, has been captured. He has been jugulated. He has been reprogrammed by his honourable friends. He has been turned now into a Remainer. He has turned Labour into the party in all the flip-flops he has performed in his tergiversating career. That is the one for which I think he will pay the highest price. Because it is this party now, this party, this government, that is clearly on the side of democracy in this country. It is this party that is on the side of the people who voted so overwhelmingly in 2016. It is this party that will deliver the mandate that they gave to this parliament, and which, by the way, this parliament promised time and time and time again to deliver. And indeed, the Right Honourable Gentleman and all his colleagues promised to deliver it. And the reality now is that we are the party of the people.
I mean, he's entertaining to watch.
I love listening to him.
We are the party of the many. We are the party of the many, and they are the party of the few. We will take this country forwards. They, Mr. Speaker, will take it backwards.
Sure. Blistering. So he's out of the starting blocks and going. Apparently he was, when did the Queen say, "Oh, go and start a government?" It was on Wednesday. And he's already in there nailing Jeremy Corbyn. Very interesting.
Yeah,
well,
like it.
Remember we also were surprised to find out about Boris's girlfriend a couple of weeks ago? The very good-looking girlfriend, might I add,
much
as well.
Much younger than him.
What's her name?
Carrie Symonds. Symonds, S-Y-M-O-N-D-S. Are you already going to Google her?
Yeah, I must know, because I know what he looks like.
Yeah, he looks terrible.
He's in his 50s. I think he's 55, and Carrie is 31 years old. And now people are getting straight into uncovering more about her and doing more investigation. She's a well put together woman. And now there's all of this hoopla around, well, now that Boris is the prime minister, where will she fit in? How will she fit in?
Go to number 9 Downing Street.
Well, because this is the first time in a very
number
long
69.
Time that. Wow, Leanne, of all people, I was not expecting that from you. This is the first time in a very long time that the Prime Minister has been unmarried.
Yes, and also, has a girlfriend.
They've only been going out for 18 months, and it's also been on and off. And unlike being, for example, the US First Lady, being the partner of a Prime Minister isn't a defined role.
Yeah, there's no real job.
I think it was David Cameron's wife who actually was a barista, and even though...
A barista is
the coffee person. Yes. There we go. She continued in that role while he was in the office.
And famously, Tony Blair's wife, Cherie, was also a barrister. And I think she eventually became like an acting judge. And she was very successful in her own right. But, you know, if you you're married to the prime minister, it doesn't matter what you do.
Mm.
People are like, oh, it's the wife of the prime minister or the husband of the prime minister. I mean, no one in the world knows what Margaret Thatcher's husband ever did. I think his name was Dennis. Nobody
knows.
Yes,
it was Dennis.
We don't even think about him much.
I'm going to go home in about 20 minutes and Dennis will have cooked dinner. This guy's just hanging around 10 Downing Street, like looking after the dogs.
Is 10 Downing Street that house where on the other side of the door that that lady had that freak out and like it was recorded on camera?
Which one?
Remember, there's that video of the former prime minister or something.
Like where she started crying?
She closes the door and then she just like loses it.
That was a fake. But
that was fake.
That's 10 Downing Street.
They got me.
It's 10 Downing Street. There's a very, very funny movie, video that's going on at the moment. I saw it on what was it, Instagram yesterday? Of Theresa May, like, leaving number 10 Downing Street, like popping a bottle of champagne, sticking her feet out of the door, taking her shoes off, screaming, "Go on now, go!
Walk out the door!"
She's just having the time of her life.
And then while people are doing all of these, I think, unfair comparisons and starting to see what Carrie will do in this next chapter of their lives, it's also been revealed that technically Boris is still married to his ex-wife. So that's a little awkward. They were married for 26 years, and her name is Marina Wheeler, and she's the mother of Boris's 4 children. And they separated last year after reports of Boris's extramarital affairs.
Hmm.
So, yeah, they haven't concluded their divorce, but they're technically married.
How does he move on so fast? They were together for like 20 years.
Ah,
it happens, and then a year later, he has a younger girlfriend.
You gotta zip it and zoo it.
People... listen,
surely everyone's going to attack her for that.
I don't. Well, is it her fault or is it his? He was the one in a marriage.
Yeah, it's sort of his fault.
Yeah,
they said it takes a third of a relationship to get over a relationship.
Really?
Well, that's something I read on Google.
A third? Oh no, that doesn't work for me. Mm-mm.
There's some that have taken triple the time to get over,
and some that take 5 minutes.
Yeah,
a third of a. No, that's like 10 years if you've been married for 30 years. No, that's too long. No, I'm actually like trying to do the maths right now.
He's thinking about his worst relationship and he's thinking about how to figure out whether it was a third for him to get over it.
And like my longest relationship right now is probably like a good solid 5 months.
Sheesh.
I know like some of my friends will like jump in and out of relationships like day after day, and I think it's the most unhealthy thing.
Why?
Because like you're not over the previous person, you're just taking that baggage with you to the next person. Yeah. You should completely be over the previous person and be comfortable with who you are before you jump into the next one.
This is what we've been missing.
Deepak Chopra flex, I don't know.
Flex is wisdom, I'm telling you. Everybody, there's a special edition of Relax, It's Flax.
Mm. Otherwise, what you're doing is you're just going into your next relationship and comparing everything that new person does to your previous one. So let's say you liked it when the previous person tickled your back. You're going to want this person to tickle your back. You need that gap where it's like you start fresh and you go into this relationship not expecting that person.
You got to detox.
Yeah. They can't be the previous person you dated. I don't know. I disapprove of people that... Well, not disapprove. I just don't... feel fondly of people jumping in and out of relationships, like be with someone for 4 years, then a week later you have a new girlfriend.
Yeah, and there are people who just they're so scared of being alone that they go from one relationship to the next.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with being alone. It's like the only place you're going to find yourself.
Damn right. You like, see more wisdom.
Listen to this. Wait, that was deep. There's nothing wrong with being alone.
See how much Flax has grown
up. That's the place you'll find yourself.
In 2 years, he's totally changed.
Yeah.
I'll find myself at the bottom, at the end of a wine bottle. I'll find myself there.
Quick email from Nicolette, who says, I was listening to your Friday show about the stupid stuff some news agencies cover. Remember we played that clip from the baboon that was found in Northcliffe?
And yeah.
They interview all these morons in the street. And of course, none of them are telling you anything useful. Why they're on the news, I do not know. Anyway, so Nicolette says... that I thought maybe this newsletter would be interesting to you. It's not South African related, but interesting nonetheless. They cover all sorts of topics on a daily basis. And then she attached this newsletter, which actually, Nicolette's really boring, but thanks anyway.
Oh.
She says, oh, and by the way, a few weeks back, I was listening to the podcast with you and the two girls that run TEL, which is the organ donor organization.
Yes.
Remember them?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
and inspired me so much, I went out and got a tattoo as well. Since then, I've inspired 10 other people to register for organ donation.
Oh, wow.
And 2 people went and got a tattoo just like mine. I've been an organ donor for years, but always said I would never get a tattoo. And she says, she, in Afrikaans, she said, Akasnia inclear book nie, my cake no. So she's, she didn't want to be a coloring in book, but now she loves it. Anyway, it's tiny and simple and merely for pragmatic reasons. Thanks for the positive influence that you have in our lives by bringing these interesting people into ours.
Those two girls also inspired me to sit down with my family and say, just to let you guys know, to confirm, I am an organ donor. Because your family is the first person the doctor will go to when you're on your deathbed. And also tell them that even though they're going to want to resist me having my organs harvested, especially while I'm still semi-alive, they must not resist.
Yeah, you're not going to be in a hostel in Bulgaria when this happens.
Exactly.
Don't you put that stuff like in your death will or something? And you have to follow that?
But you only look at your will once you're dead.
So you need to tell people before.
But don't you constantly update it and then...
Who's going to read it?
Doesn't a lawyer then read it and say, this is who she gives the house to? This
when
is
you're,
who-
you've been in a car accident, your parents are called to the hospital and they say, she's not going to make it. Is she an organ donor? That's how quickly it happens.
Yeah, and they need to say, yeah, it's fine. Or no.
But
yeah.
What happens if they say no, but you said yes?
That's the problem,
then,
right?
Then... the doctor will not harvest your organs.
Oh, okay.
But that's why it's important to have the conversation.
What a lovely discussion for a Friday.
Is that why the lady got a tattoo? So, like, the doctor knows?
Yes. Oh, okay. But it's still not officially recognized, but, you know, awareness is being raised.
And they can't just look you up on a system with your name and say, oh, this person is a registered organ donor. Or do you still need the consent of the family?
You still need the consent of the family.
Oh, okay.
Marcel says, Flex, you're still a moron.
Thank you.
Isn't that nice from Marcel? And someone says, the end is here. My app is not working. The website's not working. The end is here, I tell you. Useless EMP went off in your area. Tsenolo. No, Tsenolo. You're the only one who's complaining, so it must be your fault. I haven't got any other messages from people who are saying that it's not working. Good morning, Flax. I missed your voice and surprising wisdom.
This morning, morning.
From Clint, he says, summer is coming, Flax. We'll see you on the water in the Val soon.
Oh, that's Clint from the Val.
That's
actually
right.
Actually, I've met him a couple of times at the Val. Very cool guy.
All right. You guys need to do throwback shows more often, but try and get everybody together simultaneously. That would be really complicated to have. We'd have to. Who would we have to bring in? Mabali?
Yes.
Damon?
Yes.
Flax?
Yes.
CS. Yeah, who else would we need? Ben? Jesus, a lot of people. I think we wouldn't have enough microphones.
I don't know. It would be a cool show.
It would be noisy. It would be very, very noisy. Very busy. So Clint from the Val saying thanks for making my mornings. He's really chuffed that you're back, Flax, for a visit. Make politicians live without services for a week or two. Okay, we're not talking politics. I'm not going to read that one, but here's a different message. This one is from Ruth, who says, they say the more people you've been with, the harder it gets to have a proper relationship for that reason. Like Flax said, comparison. Also, another thought, have the same goals that you have with your partner before you get into a serious relationship. Like if their goal is to travel the world and your goal is to build a career, it's not going to work.
Mm.
Someone once explained a relationship like one big bubble with two bubbles living inside that. So you can do your own thing inside the big bubble, but you're doing it together with the little bubble next to you.
Right.
That makes sense.
Well, it's a terrible analogy, but yes. I mean, have the same goals as your partner. I mean, if she wants anal and you know you don't, that's really important. You need to discuss this
upfront. Hashtag couple goals.
Yes. Imagine you'd like met someone and they just want to do the exact same stuff as you. I think that's freaking awesome.
Yeah.
Like you want to go skydiving, they want to go skydiving. You want to go swimming with sharks, they want to go swimming with sharks. I think that's like, that's relationship goals.
Yes, and you can both be eaten together.
No. it's interesting you raise that up because, you know, sometimes Twitter will just be a blast with the most arbitrary questions that get people going. A few weeks ago, it was like, do you wash your legs? The other week, it was, do you wash your chicken before you cook it? This week,
Leanne, a bit of an aside here.
Yes.
Sia is like a Boris Johnson. He just said, Twitter was a blast.
Yes.
What a thing to say. How preposterous.
Why are you guys calling me out for these words? Yesterday, Canton was on me for using the word envisioned. These are words that just roll off the tongue.
Twitter was a blast.
Anyway, I am imagine back to saying this week, a lot of people were asking, would you date yourself?
Oh.
On the premise that, hell, you know, no, you like the no same ways things, would you date yourself?
Please, half and of my time in a relationship is tricking the person into liking me. You know, can't fool myself.
So you just wouldn't date, you wouldn't Leanne. Go down that
oh,
road.
Oh, no.
Leanne, have you met Leanne? Oh, she's terrible.
Oh, no.
It's a terrible person.
Don't go down that road.
But I was thinking I wouldn't date myself on the just the simple premise that I wouldn't like someone who likes the same things that I do. Then we're agreeable and we like the same things and so want Flex, to do the same things.
We had a psychic in here a while ago who said, it told me a whole bunch of stuff that I need to know for this year.
She didn't know anything
like
about
psychic, Sia. Psychic, or like card psychic. No, what sort of psychic?
She was a psychic, psychic.
Oh, she just
she
felt
was
it.
On the phone and she felt our energies and stuff. And she predicted that Sia. What did she say about you?
She mentioned two things for me. The first is she was very reluctant to mention this. She says, "Really, I don't want to dwell on negativity, but yes. I'd just like to make you aware that you should stay away from bikes." Because I'll probably have a bike accident or be killed from
which
one.
Which, of course, is the worst thing you could say to Sia. Now he's paranoid that he's going to be hit by a bike or something.
Like, he drives off the highway when he sees a bike in his rearview mirror.
And then the second thing is I clearly and will continue to sleep with a lot of women.
This is what she said.
That is what I carry in my spirit.
Very good psychic. Yeah.
Classy psychic.
I just have the energy of sleeping with a lot of women.
Basically, she as a, like a whore.
Yeah. Not happening.
And she did this over the phone, or was she in here?
She was based in Cape Town. She was overlooking the ocean when she called us. She just said she felt a strong connection to all of us. She said Leanne will still be a mother in some way.
We all laughed about. Oh, we laughed.
How we laughed.
And there was something about weight with you.
Yeah, I would lose weight and I'd fall in love again.
I think out of all of us, yours is the most likely to
what did she? I can't even remember what she said about me. I was so struck by her
something about
complete mischaracterization of
Sia's
future.
I think it was your career and your business, which would be really good.
Yes, moving into an international realm.
Oh, I like that.
And
that was nice.
Then you tricked her by mentioning a child. Like, will my child be successful?
Yes, and she's like, yes, will my child be an astronaut? Yes. Yeah. And she was like, yes, your child's going to be an astronaut.
Because so she was using our dates of birth. So she really was saying according to her reading and not by our names.
Then I asked her for the lottery numbers and I didn't win. So as if I needed more convincing. Anyway, it's all fun and games.
Sia, you mentioned, do we wash our chicken?
Mm-hmm.
There's a video going around of this like undead chicken breast, which appears to crawl off of a restaurant plate.
Oh, it's a like a fake ad.
Is it?
Yeah. It's one of those motorized. It looks like a chicken that's been roasted, and then it goes.
No. This is raw chicken.
What?
No.
And it's got to do with when its nerve endings are still.
No.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Why would you wash your chicken in the first place if you're just going to cook it?
The chicken is moving.
Oh, Jesus.
It's off the plate and the table.
It jumped right off the table.
So, I can't even look at it because hashtag animal cruelty. Jeez.
It actually makes me so squirmish.
And I never want to eat chicken again.
Where did this happen?
It was on Facebook, a video on Facebook, and it was apparently on an account of a restaurant.
This is why people believe in witchcraft.
I get it.
They see that and they go, this is witchcraft. I'm telling you.
What else can it be?
It had just recently been killed, right? And it's like when a chicken still runs around without its head on.
Mm.
It was that. So it wasn't a frozen chicken or anything like that.
Imagine if humans did that. Imagine if you cut off some human's head and his whole body carried on running around. That would be so freaky. How come chickens do that and we don't? Ever thought about that?
Look, I've never seen a person in real life having their head chopped off. So I don't know.
It doesn't happen all the
time. You're unwell-versed with that experience.
Yeah.
This is not the 1500s.
No, exactly.
In those days, you could have seen that all the time.
Well, this clearly is like one of those Asian places where they cook the meat in front of you, right?
No, isn't that Korean? They have the like pot thing in front of you and the seal or something.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact word for
it. I think you're mixing this up with like Jabba the Hutt from Star Wars. He used to have like a jar of living creatures and just put them in his mouth.
I'm saying that simply because this can't be a cooked piece of meat that started moving on a plate.
No, it's very raw. You can see the tendons and everything.
Oh. Really?
Not great.
Oh, my God. Oh.
Oh, that's so gross.
We now come back for Podo.
That's where this, because Jabba reaches into this jar of like liquid and there are these things swimming around and he grabs one and he just puts it in his mouth. That's like a Korean restaurant if you ask.
Not
me.
A visual I needed to have this morning.
All right, more messages. This one's from Cindy in Ireland. You remember Cindy?
Oh,
Flats?
I remember. I think she actually tweeted me like a couple nights ago.
Yeah, she said, just woken up here in Ireland. And Flaxy, she says, with lots of X's and lots of Y's. Relationships are like a long dinner, just with dessert at the beginning. Cindy, that's interesting.
That's good, so true.
Yeah.
And then right at the end, it's like when you're sitting down waiting for your food and you're starving.
And you start complaining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Morning. This is Nats in Cape Town. She says, don't know if you guys picked it up, but Penny Sparrow died yesterday,
yes.
Apparently of lung cancer. Yeah.
So, there are a lot of people who are like, oh, yay.
What a thing to say.
Yeah, that's just horrible. And also, okay, so everyone's trying to remember the story, and we need to remember that she paid money.
To the Human Rights Commission.
Yes, and she also, the problem is that she didn't apologize. Straight after that, she said, I still stand by what I said. And that's what people are battling to deal with.
Hmm.
I know your friends are responsible for most of the cash, so I'm going to give you 1 week to find it. Otherwise, I will take a finger of each of you and your friends' hands for every day that passes without payment.
That was a recording of Penny.
I feel like,
you know what? Sure, she was this ignorant woman who said this racist thing, and it's horrible, and nobody is defending her. No one would. I don't believe there's anyone who's running around going, you know what, that Penny Sparrow was right, and she's a good person. But man, I read the article, and it's just so sad and pathetic. This woman,
yeah.
She died with no money. She was sick with lung cancer. And then you read the comments, and people are like, yes, you bitch, rotten hell. And you're like, wow, you got some anger issues if you cross with a dead person, you know.
You don't have to forgive her, but
no,
just don't go there.
What a thing to
I still use
say.
Social media as really this like mirror of society, and
but the worst of society.
Well, you it's everyone, and so you really are getting a gauge of where we're at. And it was interesting to see two different groups of people. Some, you know, some people who say, well, okay, she's died and that's it. Yeah, she's gone. And then some people who are saying, oh, rest in peace. Well, you know, we forgive you, Penny. And then the people who are still angry at her going into them saying, how dare you forgive her just because she's dead? It was yikes. It was a lot to take in. And I just think,
what I wonder,
we can't meet hysteria all on the same level. Let's just be better. Let's move on. Let's move past these
things. I
always
wonder if you've never met someone. And you have that much hatred for them, but you've never met them. And don't get me wrong, I get upset when I read about what politicians have said, or I read about some person who's been abusive to an animal or any of that. I get furious, but then it goes away, and I don't like hold a grudge for the whole of my life against that. I probably don't even remember any of these people's names, but this old lady it's just so pathetic, the whole thing. It's horrible. Anyway, someone says, the first thing I thought when I saw the horn falling off the plate, a horn, is it a horn? No, it's a chicken, it's a piece of chicken. That Area 51 aliens are establishing contact with their comrades on the outside. September the 20th is nearing. You know that they're planning to storm Area 51.
Yes.
Do you think it's really going to happen?
No, because they'll be shot dead.
Well, people in the area have already started setting up, the, you know... They've accommodation, people who provide accommodation.
What, people in Area 50? Thank you.
Did you see the second place they wanted to raid was the Bermuda Triangle? They said it can't swallow us all.
Let them go and die. You know what? This is how evolution happens.
Area 51, they're going to go in and they're going to storm it and find the aliens and rescue them. That's their plan.
What do you really think is there?
I don't know. I think the US probably are developing most of their new military technology there. I mean, a lot of those more recent developments in aeronautical engineering have taken place there. It's a big test range. It's called the Ghost Lake Test Range, Area 50. Area 51 is like a military code name for the original geographical boundaries of that area. But it's got this really, really long runway, which makes people think, oh, it's UFOs. But a lot of this technology, there have been these great leaps forward, and people speculate that, you know, these are the conspiracy theorists, but they go, well, we stole some of that technology from aliens. And what they've got there is these warehouses underground where they have a whole... I think they've watched too much of that Will Smith...
Independence Day.
You know where those creatures are living in those things under the Area 51?
And why would they keep the aliens somewhere and label it like Area 51 where the aliens are kept?
Yeah,
keep it somewhere where Oaks don't know.
It would have been called like Morning Hill Old Age Home.
Yeah. And they dress the aliens up as old ladies and wheel them around. You know, it's called Groom Lake, not Ghost Lake, sorry. Groom Lake. You can find it. You could go onto Google Earth and you can see it.
Oh, you can view it?
Yeah.
I was actually in the middle of Googling that.
It's a big facility, though. There's a lot going on there for a...
And they're stupid to think that a long runway indicates UFOs. Everyone knows UFOs just land like helicopters.
Yes, Leanne, everyone knows that.
Everyone knows.
Mm-hmm. Is it close to that place where that's like known for aliens?
Roswell.
Yes, is it close to there?
It is. It's in the next state across, but it's all sort of in that desert area. So you've got Roswell in New Mexico, and you've got the Groom Lake Air Force Base in Nevada. It's just north. If you go into Google Earth, you'll see it's sort of north west of Las Vegas.
And surely if they had aliens there, the aliens would be trying to break in as well and get the alien back.
Right. I mean, the aliens would be telling the ones who were in space, come and rescue me. These are not, if there are brilliant aliens out there who are so genius that they could fly a spaceship across space at light speed to come and visit us, you really think they'd be stupid enough to let humans capture them?
They would have thought that through.
And if we've gone there once, do you not think we'll keep going there?
Yeah.
Like to collect more aliens.
You got a collection of them in jars.
Yeah.
Not that they're stupid, but I'd really be pleased if they really storm Area 51 and they find them all just dancing like in that Will Smith music video. Anything else, I don't care. I'm like, okay, yeah, technology, progress, all good and well, but I'll die before anything happens.
And if they crashed here in their spaceship, do you not think we'd like replicate their spaceship and get back to where they came from?
Love
Thank
this
you. Exactly.
Ridiculous conspiracy.
Oh, but this is important stuff. People don't ask the obvious questions. They immediately, oh, the government's hiding things from us. The government's Donald Trump at the moment.
I can't believe that many people, because there are hundreds of thousands of people who are planning on the storming of Area 51. I can't believe that many people are that stupid. I can.
I want to see what happens. It could be really, really exciting. Don't you?
It's going to be interesting because all these people, like, imagine they actually shoot and kill someone at Area 51 that's, like, trespassing.
Yeah.
And this whole thing was started via social media. Like, someone created
it was
a Facebook page.
It started as a joke.
But apparently the U.S. Army has warned that people must not do this. Like, they think it's all very cool that it's a meme and it's become this big thing on the internet. But they've warned people, if you come, we will shoot you.
I don't know why they don't just phone, like, Mark Zuckerberg and get him to take that page down, that people can't, like, join it and find out more information.
Well, you see, maybe he's part of the conspiracy.
Maybe he's an alien.
Yes, we all think he's a reptile. Of course. The Area 51 invasion was sparked by a Joe Rogan podcast with Bob Lazarus.
Yes, that's right.
And they claim he worked there and saw alien technology up close. How's that? Alien technology?
Gee whiz.
What, like something that sparks, or there's laboratory apparatus with liquids in it? Please. alien technology. Maybe I should listen to this podcast, and I also want to storm Area 51. What a lot of crap. All right. It is Friday morning. We're in a good mood. We are joined this morning also by Mojack Lehoko. How are you, man?
I'm good, and yourself?
Nice to see you, dude.
Good to see you, too. Are you well?
Yeah, very good. You've just come from the National Arts Festival, right?
I have.
Yeah, how was that?
That's tricky. Grahamstown, or Makanda as it's called now.
Is there water there? Because that place is in absolute shit, isn't it?
Well, they brought some in for the festival, but we ran out at our complex, so that was a little bit difficult to say the least.
Apparently people are shitting in the streets.
Whoa, that's too much, Gareth. Now that you're making it sound like rocking the daisies. No, I'm joking. No, it was fun. It was fun. It was okay. It was cool.
It's a horrible place, though. I mean, Grahamstown used to be this charming little town, and the municipality there have run it so badly into the ground that now you've got all these people who swarm on the place, and there's just not enough place to stay.
It's
unsanitary. The venues for all of this they're all crumbling and falling down, right? I mean, didn't you have to wear a hard hat when you went and did your show?
No, this year I left the hard hat behind. I forgot to pack that, but normally I'd go with my safety boots. No, I mean, the municipality is struggling.
Struggling?
Yeah. I'm trying to be as nice as possible so they don't ban me for next year. It's cool to go and perform and work on the craft, but it is a little bit difficult in terms of infrastructure.
Did you have to heat your water in like a...
Well, the one time
we were primus stove.
No, that was in my youth. Very different. No, we ran out of water for like 2-3 days.
Oh my God.
So having to shower at other people's places isn't fun.
It's like Somalia.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't go that far, but it's cool. It's cool to perform there. I always enjoy it.
Now, you are an incredible stand-up comedian. You're performing your own show there. You also are performing at the Auto and General Theater on the Square in Sandton. You're not here for your health.
Yes.
Yeah. No one wakes up at 6 a.m. to come and sit in a studio with us unless they got something to plug. So
no,
I
love your company. That's why I'm here, guys.
Well, you know, we like yours too. That's why we invited you.
Thank you.
Tell me about the show that's going on at in Sandton.
So there's a kind of a festival called One Night Stands put together with Goliath and Goliath, Sivengezi Productions. I'm doing a show on the 3rd.
Sivengezi's involved?
He is. He's producing. Yeah, I'm doing a show on the 3rd of August. It's called Tell Us More.
How much money do you have to hand over to him?
To him?
Yeah.
I don't know yet. I work in good faith with those lovely people. So we'll find out when the money comes out with invoices.
We like Siv. He's a good friend of ours. I'm just curious. He seems like he's branching out into all kinds of new areas.
Yeah. I think he's, you have to do that as an entertainer in some facets. You gotta kind of be an owner of your content also. So I think he's doing that. Yeah.
But he mustn't own your content.
No, he doesn't own my content. He just facilitates the process of kind of booking venues and doing that kind of the admin side. I think he's trying to get into
I can't see Siv calling up theaters going, "Hi, it's Siv and Jesse. How many seats do you have and what can we charge per head and do you serve drinks afterwards?"
You know, there's a theater in Cape Town that you kind of have to go through him to
get the room. He's become a powerful man.
Yeah, he has to vet you. It's really weird. That's how it goes. They trust him and he's been around for a while. So I get that process.
Good for him.
Yeah.
All right, but enough about Sivengezi. Let's talk about you.
Yeah.
So it's called One Night Stands.
That's the name of the festival. My show is called Tell Us More.
Oh.
I'm kind of just exploring a lot of things I've been, I wouldn't say dealing with, but going through. I'm in an interracial relationship, which has been interesting in its own regard.
White chicks are terrible. I'll tell you.
Why do you say that?
What is it? Is she Indian? Is she colored?
She is white. She's white and Jewish. So that's been fine.
White and Jewish.
Yeah.
Jesus, Flex just
tell us
shattered
how Shabbos goes.
Well, I don't go that often. She's not like that religious, but you know, I'll sometimes rock up with the yarmulke and we say our prayer, or I'll go to Seder like once a year and we do the whole Pesach thing. And
the full Seder or like?
We do a really abridged version of it. Her father's like, "You guys know the story about the simple son and the wise one," and we're like, "Not really, David." And then he's like, "Okay, let's eat." So we're not hiding. The Afrikomen. Yes.
How was like the first time you met her parents?
That was interesting. I think there used to be this like cool Chinese restaurant in Hyde Park. I forget the name of it, but we kind of met there for the first time.
It's called the Red Chamber.
The Red Chamber. Yeah. They moved it. It used to be upstairs.
That's a porno.
That's on a different site completely. We hung out for the first time and it was okay. We got to know each other. My father and her are both teachers, so they get on like a house on fire. Wow. Yeah, they really have a great relationship.
Can I ask you something about these interracial relationships?
Yes.
Because people still find them curious. I don't think there's that much. There are some people who think they're curious and interesting.
Yeah.
I see loads of people in interracial relationships. You see them at the movies. You see them.
Yeah.
It's not the big deal it once was. I mean, I remember speaking to people who were doing this in the 80s.
Yes.
It was like, it was illegal.
It was a crime.
It was an actual crime.
But it's also, it's interesting being in it. So I dated a Muslim guy for a while.
Mm.
And, when we were in public.
Yes.
White people wouldn't stare at us.
Did he have a big old beard?
But Muslim people would stare at us.
Did he have a big old beard and looked like a Taliban?
No.
Wow, that's... I don't condone that. I'm not... The views expressed today are of...
Yeah.
Looked like one of those Taliban guys who live in the mountains and sheltered Osama bin Laden.
Good Lord. Yeah.
So it was like, it was the Muslim girls who were looking at me disparagingly, as if I'd stolen one of theirs.
You couldn't see them under the hijab. How could you tell?
Oh, my goodness. There we go. This is going to be fun. This
some awkward silence.
There are not all Muslim women wear
them. Grahamstown was dangerous.
Well, you know, there's some flights I might not be able to take after this interview. I have to fly direct to New York now. So thank you for that, Garrett.
You've seen it. That is way more racist than anything else.
What do you mean? How is that, Ray? You said the things, and I might be the victim of those comments.
Please, yes. In honor of the departed Penny Sparrow, let's stop your racist ranting. All right?
That was so crazy because, you know, she was found guilty of criminal injury. Then they found out she couldn't afford to pay the thing. So then they reduced the amount. It was like 5,000 rand and she could pay it over a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. So the whole case has been very interesting. You guys were talking about it earlier. It's been quite a wild journey. It's very complicated to say the least.
Mm.
All right. So your show is a little bit about the relationship.
Yeah. A little bit about politics, religion too. So it's kind of,
you just go everywhere.
Yeah. Well, not everywhere. Those are kind of the three cornerstones of the show.
Sex, religion, politics.
Sex, religion, you know, the safe stuff.
Wow. You put yourself out there, man.
Well, I guess I'm just talking about my life and how I see it and some of the stuff people like and some of it they're not fully on board with, but we'll get to that. I'll figure out how to get them on board.
Well, tell me about, because I don't know that we've done a huge like biography on you, but where did this all begin? You mentioned your dad was a teacher. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Katlehong initially in the East Rand, and I went to schools there, and then I guess kind of like after 94, a lot of us moved from townships to kind of suburbs,
mm-hmm.
and there was kind of a huge
Model C.
There was a huge culture shift, you know, that happened. I was lucky. I went to Greenside Primary, which at the time was incredibly eclectic. So there was Muslim kids, Jewish kids from all facets, and so you got to learn a lot about stuff. Like I remember I had a friend like Yanai. He would rock up with like rice cakes every same time of the year every year, and I didn't know. It's like, you know, like Pesach, because you couldn't have
matzah.
Yeah, you rice can't cakes. Yeah, because in a rush they couldn't like bake bread.
Yeah, the unleavened.
Do you see what I'm saying? Mm. And then I had my friend Ziad Ibrahims, who would hang out with him, and then he'd invite me over like after Eid, and I'm like, yo, Ziad, what's going on? You guys just have this feast every year. And so from like hanging out with people, you learn about their cultures. So I was lucky. At that particular point in time. Another interesting thing, I was in class with Mpopops and Kieran Forbes in the second grade.
Wow.
Yeah, they were both in my class. Yeah, in grade two. And so, I mean, we all
talented
split up.
School.
Yes.
Well,
like a Illuminati class.
Well, that one class.
Are you guys all still on a WhatsApp group?
No. We bump into each other once in a while, but I think we all took very different paths and eventually got here somehow.
Well, Pops doesn't return my calls anymore. He's such a big deal.
Ooh. I love Pops. He's one of my favorite people in the world. Wow. I love Pops. He's great, man. Pops is great. Didn't we work together on the roast?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, Pops was involved. He might have did this.
No, I love the guy. He's awesome. And he really has. Look, you've done well, man.
Thank you. I mean, appreciate that. Yeah,
you deserve it.
Debit orders aren't bouncing anymore, so things are working out.
I'd be grateful for these things.
Big relief. Because, I mean, the last time you came here and just asked for some porridge, it was
you're acting like the last time I came here was 96. Like,
I feel like, you know, you've made it as a comedian in South Africa when you're in the same WhatsApp group as Trevor Noah. So are you?
Oh, yeah. I text Trevor once in a while. I worked with him in 2017. He did there's Gupta on my stoop at the Dome.
Yes.
So we flew out to New York. I think it was July 2017. Just to discuss the show, but he was writing all the jokes. Because he had been away for so long, he didn't know what was happening in South Africa. So we were kind of just clueing him up.
That guy works hard.
Oh, he's incredible.
He doesn't stop.
Yeah. I always say to people, like, whether you like Trevor or not, like, he is so good at what he does.
Yeah.
He's incredibly talented. And I'm a big fan of him. I love Trevor. And he's also cut me some nice checks along the way. So I appreciate him. I really dig that guy.
Yeah. I think he's done a huge amount of good that people don't even know about.
Yeah.
In terms of how he's helped local comedians, he's got staff over there who he's brought over from South Africa.
Yeah.
He's got people who he talks to here all the time. He helps a lot of really good causes here.
Mm.
I mean, he's moving in some impressive circles now too.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think, I don't know if it's out yet, but he might be in town. Oh, I'm trying. Okay, maybe I might. No, actually, I don't know what I'm talking about. But Trevor's, let me backtrack real
uh-oh.
Quick.
Uh-oh.
I'm like, did I sign
Trevor's
an NDA?
Just about to cut you off the WhatsApp group.
No, he's cool.
A quick realization.
I was like, no. You'll see him when you see him, but I think you will be in the country in the next couple of months doing something cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That is very specific.
Yeah, I gotta keep it like you know what happened? I did this roast battle last year that I'm gonna say I won, but then I won the roast battle last year. But then one of the producers from a radio station was there. Then they invited me over to speak on it the next day. Then I realized that because there wasn't an embargo that we couldn't talk about it yet, because it wasn't televised.
Did you get into trouble?
I was like Tom Holland, basically. Like nobody trusts me anymore.
Oh, no.
Like I'm Mr. Spoiler, so I have to be very careful now what I talk about.
Were they pissed off? Did they try and?
Yeah, they were okay.
Because in the contract, these things come up, and then they can sue you, or they can actually like.
I don't think they put it in the contract, actually. So that was like a, you know, well, I'm not calling anybody that, but I think they may have omitted that in the contract.
All right. Let's just look back at some of the stuff you've done, because there's a very impressive CV you've built up, and you used to write for Late Night with Luis Ogola.
That's correct.
Which
that was
amazing.
Yeah, that was fantastic. That was my first writing gig ever.
A great show that was. Congratulations to everybody who was involved in that show. I miss it.
It was fantastic. It was great. Like, we got to talk about politics every week, 2 international Emmy nominations.
Alala.
And Luis Ogola has gone on to do some incredible things. He lives in London now. That was a fun experience. That's where I cut my teeth in writing. I learned a lot from that team, from Kagiso Lediga. Mm-hmm. At the time, Riyad Musa was on, Conrad Koch was on, where some other writers who were like, there was Lindsay Chutel, who just come back from Yale, or Columbia rather, in the States. Sure. So we had Ivy League writer, Lionel Skink. It was like some of the greatest comedic minds to sit around every week and discuss politics and comedy.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it got hectic though. We used to fight a lot. Like, people don't know that, but in the brainstorms, there was a lot of arguing about policy and fights, and so like, by the time people saw the show, we'd thrashed out all the ideas.
Can you remember now? This is going to be a huge test of your memory, but
sure.
Can you remember like a joke or an idea which you pitched that the rest of them said was shit, but that you still believe in?
I can't think of, but I'm sure there's lots of stuff we've pitched along the way. I mean, we also did a sketch show called The Bantu Hour, and that was funny because all the comedians arrive and
Bantu
then.
Hour.
Yeah.
I love that.
It was a fantastic show. Brahu was on it. Rest in peace, Brahu. He was great. Yes. But basically every morning comedians come and they pitch ideas, and I've got this knack for telling if an idea is going to be bad. So I would like start laughing immediately, and people like, why are you laughing? And I just knew the idea was going to bomb. So everyone was finding out a little bit later, and I was like, this is guys, the sketch is Dr. Malinga and Dr. Kumala. What's the best that could happen over here? Like, this is a terrible premise. But yeah, it was really fun. I can't think of anything that stuck out like that.
All right, so numerous projects, Ikasi Stories,
yes,
Abomzala. We had Bantu Hour, which you mentioned already, and
sure.
Of course the Bantu Hour won some SAFTAs, didn't it?
Actually, we lost to some puppets. That was really upsetting. That was really
racism.
That was really upsetting. And then we just went out and got like really drunk on that evening at Sun City. So that was interesting.
That's always a good way to get over the humiliation of losing.
You know, self-medication. That's how we operate in the
world.
All right.
You also are a multiple Comics Choice Awards nominee and winner of the Comics Pen Award for 2017.
Uh-huh.
Do you keep it on a shelf?
It is. It's on my bookshelf somewhere to keep up some of the books. Yeah.
So you actually have a use for it.
Yeah, I do covet the award. It's kind of special to me.
Good for you.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, and then we've got MTV Base's Newsish.
Yeah.
There was Waza Clever.
Uh-huh.
There was Comedy Central's As a People.
Yes.
Man, look at all the stuff you've done. And even Wonder Boy for President.
Oh, yeah, that was fun. John Barker did that movie. And so basically he rang me and he was like, hey, do you want to be in the movie? I was like, cool. I didn't really know what it was. And basically it's a scene where I'm talking like the lead, Kagiso's character, off a bridge. He wants to like jump off. And so when we got to the premiere, people were like, so what do you do in the movie? And I totally forgotten. So I was like, I think it's a pivotal scene in the movie.
I think we figured out, like, you're really good in the project, but promotion is not your
thing. Well, no, I mean, you know, it's when you shoot it. I just shot something in a feature now where, cause you never know as an actor what it's going to look like in the end. Mm. So we just shot some stuff for a feature a couple of days ago. It only drops in 2020. So I'll only know at the premiere when everyone else sees it also, like.
Yeah, people don't know that. They think that you, first of all, know what the order of things is, which yeah. you don't always. Sometimes you just come in for a scene or two.
Sure.
And you don't know what the rest of the story is.
Yeah.
You might even be killed in the next episode for all you know.
They might cut me from the movie completely.
Right.
I'm well aware of that too, so it's always tricky.
I mean, with Game of Thrones, I think they used to tell the actors 2 days before.
Yeah.
And then they would even shoot for the final, because they wanted to keep it all under wraps and not have someone like you ruin it.
Oh, come on. Like, I wouldn't have told anyone about Cersei. Like, I would have.
They would have done two versions and filmed them all, like, properly. And then the one version, it was just to distract people so that they would think that was the ending.
But that's budget. Those are things you can do. Oh, HBO. Sure. Go try that at SABC 2. No,
you can hardly even do the actual thing within budget.
Yeah.
That's hectic.
You a fan of Game of Thrones?
Yeah, I don't think about it much now. It's the first time I thought about it since it ended. But while it was on,
it's great, yeah.
Yeah, amazing.
Fun show.
What do you watch?
What do I watch?
What are your series of choice?
I watch anything with David Attenborough. That's kind of like my only go-to show at the moment. So
there's this promo I saw for Blue Planet 2, or I don't know what this one is, or Our Planet, or like the continents, or whatever it is.
Our Planet's great.
Jeez, dude, yeah. This promo had me in tears.
Is it the one where the seal drops?
What, like into the water?
No, there's one with, like, he highlights global warming and a seal actually drops off the side of a cliff and dies. And it's like the most heartbreaking thing ever.
Yeah, it might be that one. Ugh. So, like, it's really beautiful and cinematic. And then he's like, and that's why there are no more pandas. And you're like, oh, man.
It's called Seven Worlds, One Planet. See, I just looked it up.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I love Attenborough. He's cool. I dig the stories they create.
So you would have seen his Birds of Paradise one?
No, but I did see Dynasties, Our Planet.
Yeah, Dynasties is great.
What's the other one they did before that? The BBC stuff? The first two series?
And then he had that one called The Red Chamber.
Well, that was, you know, he's just the voice in that, and he's not, his hips aren't what they used to be, so he couldn't be the lead in that.
Wow. All right, so your show, let's just give this another plug in case people aren't already reaching for their wallets and their phones.
Yep.
It's only 150 Rand. I mean, really, and half of that goes to Sivengesi, so.
We haven't discussed
you
that yet.
You better book this. This is the 8th of August. It's a one.
3rd of August. 3rd of August.
Oh, well, why does it say 8th? You're terrible at promoting.
That wasn't me. I didn't send you that. It's the 3rd of August.
3rd of August. Yeah. 6 p.m.
Uh-huh. That's correct.
Auto and General Theatre on the Square.
That's correct.
What people like about that, there's lots of parking.
Yes. It's Centon City.
That's right. And afterwards, mm-hmm. they do have a bar.
Yes. There's lots of wine.
Right.
There's a piano in the back. The seating's wonderful.
Yes.
There's access for everyone.
That's right.
Love it.
Beautiful.
Love it.
Lovely doll.
Lovely doll.
Come along to the theatre on the square. That's $150, 6 p.m. 3rd of August, not the 8th, like you said, you idiot.
No, 3rd. I said the 3rd the whole time.
Oh, yeah, he did say the 3rd.
Tickets are in computation.
Thank you, man, I appreciate you.
Please.
Yeah.
We stop.
Or go on my website, mojackluka.com. There's also
even
a link
better,
there.
You can go straight to Mojack's website.
There we go.
Do you get a cut then?
I'm going to put that in today.
Then people should only do that. Don't give Siv more money than he needs. Can take a look. You can go Mojack Lehoko. Nice to see you, dude.
Thank you so much for having me.
What a pleasure. Hang around, though, because George has got some stuff for us this morning. George Meany. How are you, George?
Good, and you?
Good. What's happening?
Gauteng e-tolls.
Oh, thanks. Oof. You know what, George? Thanks. That's the end of this.
Thanks, George. Yeah.
This is going so well.
Before we get to the e-tolls,
Jack, do you want to come back and throw George out?
I'll do the news next.
Yeah. By the way, nice to see Flax again, right?
Yes, I was listening before I got in here.
We used to bump into each other. We used to live in the same neighborhood, like a couple years back. So, like in Woolworths, we used to bump into each other.
Oh, right. Was it awkward?
The veil?
No, not at all.
In the veil.
Eastrand, right. Come on.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, so
exactly.
George, what are you going to spoil our day by telling us about e-tolls with?
Before the e-tolls, you know what I watched this weekend, talking about relationships that you were talking about earlier?
Mm-hmm.
I Love You Now Die.
Oh. Okay.
I thought you were going to say Love Island, and I was like,
I watched that.
So tell us.
Unbelievable. I can't even believe it can happen.
Is it it's based on a real story, or it's.
No, it's true. It's this couple that saw each other a maximum of five times. They were, I think, 20 years old.
Aye.
And texted each other for years. And she texted him into committing suicide.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Hey? But if you look at if you watch the documentary, you can see the other side.
What a poisonous bitch.
That's witchcraft.
That's witchcraft.
Hey?
So you watched it, huh?
I watched, it's a two-part series. It's brilliant. If you haven't watched it, you should watch it.
What's it on Netflix?
No, Showmax.
All right, Etolls.
So Gauteng Etolls continue to act, or should I say, continue to get themselves into a major financial sinkhole. So their cash collection on the Gauteng Freeway Improvement Project is 65 million rand per month, and it's significantly lower than projected.
Yeah, because they're useless, and no one wants to, and we're all going to tell them to get knotted when they send us these bills just for using the highway that we're already paying for.
So what they need is 240 million rand a month.
Yeah, I need a golden toilet, and I need 500 million rand a month too. How about that?
And the amount of debt that that is going on here is unbelievable, and I think that this is the reason they can't scrap this whole bloody thing is because of the debt. You know, so they've got two guarantees totaling 38 billion rand.
Yeah, I think this is why you have to scrap the debt.
Yeah, but I mean, who's going to pay? Because apparently there's international and local contractors that that are involved. There are finance companies that are involved. So, you know,
they must go after the government ministers who made this happen in their personal capacity. Like they went after Busisiwe Mkhwebane for those ridiculous court cases she brought against Pravin Gordhan, and they said she's got to pay out of her own pocket. Just do the same with these guys.
You know what they should do, and here's an idea. They should sell the e-tolls infrastructure that they've built to like a data mining company, and they can use the cameras and just collect the data from the cars that pass by.
I think you're onto something.
And then they pay off their debt.
I don't know if it'll pay for all of that because it sounds like a lot of debt, but that is a good idea.
Use it for something else. Mm. Don't use it to collect e-tolls. But anyway, President Ramaphosa has tasked Transport Minister Fikile Mbalula to find a solution to this problem.
Yeah.
Razzmatazz.
Yeah.
Razzmatazz.
You think he's going to be able to sort it out?
I don't think anyone can sort it.
There's too much debt involved.
I'm going to tweet in my solution to help.
I think you're right. But on to lighter things. The pleasure was obviously all yours. A car dealership contacts a woman after she left a very embarrassing item in the glove box of her vehicle when trading it in.
A sex toy?
Mm. Yeah, boy.
Wow.
She left a big old dildo in
there. Yeah.
That's good times.
She accidentally left the sex toy in the glove box.
Why would you have this in your glove box?
When you're in traffic, come on, Gareth. Have you never just wanted to knock out a quick one on the way to work?
With a big old toy,
you know.
It looks like in that image that it's not even in a casing.
Yeah, it doesn't look like that.
I mean, and if I look at it out. There's some shit in my cubbyhole that's like crumbly and there's like the bottom of Fritos chips in there.
Okay. Tell us more.
And dog hair and fluff and toe jam. I mean,
oh, Jesus. Ooh.
Wow. Okay.
And then a vaginal toy.
So this dealership went to social media, obviously, to get the media exposure. And the woman replied, I'm seriously moving countries.
Oh, wow. Oh, shame she replied publicly.
It says shame. It was a text message. So whether she replied like that publicly or not.
Otherwise, she's got a hell of a sense of humor. If you can, you don't mind being mocked for your. And by the way, it's a big dildo too.
It looks
the size of a baby's arm.
Yeah.
So this was the message to the polite young lady who traded her vehicle in with us this morning. It was lovely to meet you, but the pleasure was obviously all yours.
Wow.
Can somebody please tag this big guy's owner so that she can collect her friend?
Oh my God.
That's what they went to social media with.
Do dildos come in sizes?
Oh yeah,
but like, what would be the metric for that?
Well, Leanne, that big bottle of water that she's got over
there's some like even bigger than that.
What? What do you mean bigger than this?
I promise you, there used to be this sex shop in Melville, and they had these enormous, this row of pitch black dildos in various sizes.
Okay,
and some of them were like the size of a child.
Wow. Well, yeah. You know, some people you've got to get your rocks off somehow.
onto the next thing. So I think this is an interesting novelty, and hopefully they make it in English because I tried to download it and it's in another language. Skoda parent taxi app charges kids to do chores. So if you're tired of your your kids making you drive them around, you can download this app. And it's like an Uber app, and the kid has to book a ride and pay in the form of chores.
Wow. Mm. Wow. That sounds good. I'm always a massive advocate for child labor. Mm. I think it's a very good thing. I think if children...
I think I'll adopt now.
Children don't pay any tax. They are a drain on the economy. They don't work. They're not productive. And their parents have to fork out money the whole time. The best way to solve this is the old Victorian workhouse, where you put them at the bench and you make them fix things with their little hands that big hands can't fix. Like a sweatshop, for example, is a great place for children to learn about the world.
We're going to have advocates after this one.
I say it's time. These kids have had a free ride for so many years now. Go back to the old Victorian sweatshop and workhouse. Remember, like Oliver Twist, they'd wake up in the morning... They would go to the workhouse. They would make stuff until 9 o'clock at night. They'd have 4 hours of sleep and back in the factory the next day. And did they know what to do? Hell yes. And did they grow up fast? Hell yes.
This took a dark turn.
Maybe one of those guys grew up and drove his car into KZN's ocean. I don't know if you saw that video.
What?
Yeah.
So a guy on a dare. Thought it would be fun on a dare to drive his car and I'll tweet the video. He drove his car straight onto the south coast beach of KwaZulu-Natal into the water waves.
And it got stuck.
Why?
Well, a tractor came and pulled it out. But he got out of the car and in a very calm manner walked away from the car and waved.
Was he trying to commit suicide?
It was on a dare. Somebody dared him.
Oh, can't he get arrested for that? It's illegal to drive on beaches in South Africa.
Some beaches. You're just an idiot if you think that your car's not going to get stuck in that sand.
No, it was a VW Golf, a City Golf. Wow. A green City Golf.
So he was from the Free States.
Those
apparently.
Are indestructible.
Maybe he was trying to prove that.
But he also went in at a huge speed.
Yeah, he did.
Lord.
Some people.
No.
Okay, well, that's a good fun way to end the day. Anything else you want to plug, Mojack?
I'm going to
be... Got a range of dildos?
Yes, actually, they come in one size. No, I've got a series of specials that we're working on now. So we're going to be shooting some DVDs in the next couple of months. So look out for details on my social media.
Awesome.
MojackLogo.com if you want to know a little bit more.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Flax, thanks for coming, man.
Thank you for having me. This was so awesome. And I'll spread the word at the Shabbos table tonight about
your
show.
Go for it. Thank you very much.
Don't you live in the Vale anymore?
No, I moved out of there. No. Back in Lingsfield.
Hey.
All right. Flax, very good to see you again, dude. And we love having you here.
You too, guys.
So if you want to pop around again sometime, let us know.
Thanks.
Plenty of people on the messages this morning thrilled about Michael Flax. A few about Mojack. And then, George, always nice to see you. We will see you next Friday.
Cheers, guys.
Leanne, thank you very much. See ya. And most importantly, thank you for listening. Otherwise, we'd be doing this to nobody. It would be really pointless every day if we got up and we did this show and no one cared. So thank you for listening, and I hope you have an awesome weekend. Behave yourself, and let us know if you don't. Because that's always the more exciting part of things. Thank you.
This is CliffCentral.com.